This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. It's just a little after 8:35 a.m. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng, and it's time now for the show that's all about personal finance, ringgit and cents. Retirement sufficiency is an ever-pressing challenge for many of us. At the same time, though, we still hear of how dangerous it is to have too much debt. Now, what if we told you to take on more debt to plan for your retirement? Joining us today on the show is Bose Darson, a financial literacy coach and chartered financial consultant. And we're going to be talking about how the ASB and EPF can help you be a millionaire at retirement.
Good morning, Darson. I guess a lot of people know what the EPF is, but the ASB is only limited to a certain number of people. Can you just give us a very quick and brief background as to what the Amanah Saham Bumiputra is?
Yeah, it's a very, very good unit trust scheme meant to encourage savings among the Bumiputra community. So it has a long history of very good stellar performance and very good returns. So it's just that I've cognited recently on how well to use that opportunity to invest in ASB. Now, if I perceive that the investment amount originally slated is about 200,000 ringgit, mm-hmm. Now two things happens. One is I don't have 200,000 ringgit to invest straight away. Mm-hmm. I may want to make it 200,000 gradually by investing some amount every month. So that should be the route. But, you know, being in financial planning for so long, I realized that leveraged investment is very important.
Okay, so meaning this borrowing from somebody.
That's right.
To invest. Isn't that sounds dangerous.
Yes, that's right. It sounds dangerous, but this is it. I remember reading an article on CPA Australia, where they immediately introduced the concept, take some risk, take some leverage into investment. So I think it's a grand opportunity, but must be used well.
So there are two polarized views here. One is that you shouldn't take too much risk by having too much debt and too much borrowing, right? And going to the other side, you're saying right now that perhaps it's not a bad idea to borrow some money to invest. How does this work?
Excellent. That's exactly the point. You see, what I cognited on is that we must separate borrowing from investment. So when I borrow, let's say 200,000, I'll be paying to a bank, liquidating it at their rate of interest, and I'm liquidating the principal borrowed over, let's say, 20 years. But when I'm investing the 200,000, which is compounding at whatever rate the investment provides for 20 years. So these are two separate mathematical activities.
So one is going up, which is your investments is going up, and
right.
Your debt, the borrowing that you took from the bank is going down.
That's right. So can I give you an example? So for example, let's say I borrow 200,000 from a bank at 6% per annum monthly rest, say for 20 years. And we'll go into the subject of why would the bank lend you in the first place? Well, it's happening. It's because it's a secure. They don't see any risk in lending for a couple of reasons, which is...
Okay, this relates specifically to the ASB. The correct. Banks are quite willing to lend to the people borrowing for ASB's investment.
That's right. Following their own lending guidelines. So you have to have a certain amount of income generated, free to handle this. So that's another dimension by itself. But the mechanics here is, so while I've taken a loan, 200,000, to invest fully in the Amanah Saham Bumiputra, and what will happen is that I will take the 200,000 and allow it to compound at 7.5% over 20 years.
Is that the guaranteed rate by ASB?
No. We have to take a best benchmark that they've even offered 10-12% of the good old heydays, you know, 80s and 90s, they were good old heydays. And so, but let's take 7.5% as a good target that they, I'm sure, are working at. So 7.5% compounded annually on 200,000 will give me 850,000. Whereas the loan, when I liquidate the loan, my repayment is 1,400 a month. So when I look at the total payment to the bank over the 20 years, it's about 343,000. So when I minus the compounded value, future value, from the total amount paid to the bank, which is 343, I end up with a gain, net gain of more than 500,000 ringgit. So that's a huge sum of money to be available for retirement.
It's almost like creating something out of nothing, because in the first place you started without that
anything.
Capital, that 200,000, and right. 20 years later you end up with an asset that's worth 800,000 ringgit.
That's right, absolutely. And so, however, I must, Mr. Julian, I must add some caveat here. The caveat is compounding of investment only takes place if you reinvest the dividends. So, of course, the government and whoever is involved in ASB have looked upon it as an income fund. In other words, the depositors are allowed to take the income annually and for to meet whatever expenses. So it's basically structured as an income fund, which means that the unit value does not vary. It is still one ringgit all the way through. So there's no capital appreciation or variation in the unit value. That explains why banks are willing to lend. They have no impairment of value. So they are willing to realize, let's say I have that as a collateral, I'll get back that $1.
So this is kind of like a capital guaranteed fund, and this guarantee is being made by the government.
The unit trust managers, the government is obviously watching and helping, but the unit trust managers, PNB, have done a very good job. They educate the masses every year, they really get into it and make them safe. So the reason why I picked up ASB is because here's an opportunity to get a net gain of 500,000 free. Mm-hmm. Even EPF, all these years in my observation, have declared, oh, we are hoping for an average withdrawal, 150,000, then 200,000. So they are hitting very low figures. Now here, passively, I can get a net gain of 500,000, which outbids EPF. But, you know, I know you're going to raise, okay, what with EPF? Then with EPF and ASB, for the common Bumiputra, he will be saying, wow. In a scenario like what I painted, investing 1432 a month, settling the debt, and putting the 200,000 to work immediately for you. So I realized I'm starting with someone earning 3,000.
Yep.
So if I'm starting with someone earning 3,000, and if I allow a 4% increase in salary growth over a 20-year period, his EPF will accumulate to about 400,000. So your ASB 500,000 and your EPF 400,000, one single breadwinner earns about 900,000 retirement savings. If you have two adults, working adults in a family, you have 1.8 million. Now, this is vis-a-vis anything else you could be doing.
Mm-hmm. So this is using the ASB and EPF facilities to almost become a millionaire by the time you retire.
Right, with an important caveat, the discipline not to withdraw your ASB money and the discipline not to withdraw your EPF money.
It has to be a kind of forced savings, as both ASB, but EPF is a kind of forced savings.
That's right. But, you know, along the way, you're allowed to withdraw for this and that. So in the end, people end up with withdrawing 150,000. It doesn't go take you anywhere. 150,000. So even ASB, if they have to practice discipline, that's why in investment they say you need patience and discipline to allow your returns. So clearly this is a retirement target that we're looking at. But life must go on. So you've got other issues. And people say to get 1,400 out of a 3,000 salary, I can't make it. You know, my family commitments are much more. Yes, those are real. But I was shocked to read in the newspaper that the median income, the average income today, household income, 6,400.
That's right. That's for the entire household, and it'd be lower for an individual.
Correct. Yeah. But even if I look at a household perspective, 6,000, so meeting 1,400 commitment a month seems like possible. It's very possible. Mm-hmm. So the average man, I'm not talking about rich people, I'm talking about the average man, he can also have a decent retirement. If you follow this disciplined approach.
Our guest on Ringgit & Sense today is Bose Dawson, a financial literacy coach and chartered financial consultant. We're talking about how you can borrow to invest in ASB to help you be a millionaire by retirement. Coming up after the break, are forced savings down to playing a psychological game? Stay with us on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. Good morning. You're listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng, and we're speaking to Bose Darson this morning, a financial literacy coach and chartered financial consultant. The topic of discussion is how you can be a millionaire by the time you retire just by using your ASB and EPF.
You talked about the plight of the graduates trying to make a living, and we know that graduate unemployment is actually quite high, but assuming they have a job, so they've put that $200,000 in ASB, where would they find that cash to, that from a cash flow viewpoint, they still have to allocate cash for interest payment?
That's right. Basically, as I said, this is not immediately for everyone. When you can touch the right threshold, you can do it. So if my commitment is $1,400 to the bank, so I have to find that I can meet that $1,400. So in the early stages of someone's career, that will be challenging. Even to have a $600 commitment will be challenging. So yes, you have to time it such a way that you're not under undue pressure. Any financial planner will say, oh, look, I'm so busy trying to handle today, don't tell me I have to manage tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But this is it. The problem is this. See, my scenario is 20 years. So if my scenario is 20 years, you've got to start young. So this is the irony.
This is the power of compounding, right?
The power of compounding. So this is where financial literacy comes in. If you want to be comfortable 20 years from down the road, you've got to start today. And to educate the young graduates, educate the young employees, hey, listen, we will face this problem 20 years down the road. Let's start on the right track. Let's have this game going on the side. And you know the famous financial planning example that if you started early, the person who started 10 years later will still play catch up and never catch up.
Exactly. Yeah. So just going back to the idea of forced savings, there are two parts to this forced saving. One is that you've got to resist the temptation of withdrawing that dividends that ASB gives you every year. The other part of the forced savings is also the forced payment of the interest rate. You got to make sure that you don't withdraw, and at the same time, you got to force yourself to pay the interest plus capital installment back to the bank.
That's right.
There are two forced components here.
Absolutely. So this is why we separate the activity and call it a game, a retirement game. So if it's a retirement game, all it's going to take is 1,432 ringgit. So my commitment to the bank is principal because it's liquidating. So principal plus interest. Yes, the early portion, the interest is higher than the principal, but you're liquidating the principal borrowed. So that's one separate activity. Mm-hmm. Then, as you said very rightly, then I'm allowing my investment of 200,000 to continue without reinvest and compound. So I should not be looking at it, but it looks good on my balance sheet. On my balance sheet, anybody can say, hey, you have a healthy balance here. Or 500,000 in your bank, in your account. Your net worth statement looks good. So your credit rating will also look good. So the point is that, yes, you can watch your money grow. It's a game. It's called a retirement game. And you manage your life with the remainder, if you can afford it. But I suppose it's going to be very tenuous for a young family to manage this.
Yeah, exactly. And what if you used some of that returns from the ASB to pay off the loans? Is that a good idea?
This is what the banks are doing. So interestingly, if I'm not mistaken, the banks are doing, hey, don't worry, you got a ASB account, you got a loan with us, we can square off the two. Now, this violates the principle. Mm. The principle of investment is to allow your income to compound. So your 7.5% must be allowed to be reinvested compounding. So we must appreciate that the future value of a large amount is only possible because you have allowed the dividends to compound. So reinvestment is very important. Which also reminds me that the way the ASB is structured is a great income fund. Mm. So we must now convert. Instead of relying on the income fund during my career, I should rely on my income fund during my retirement. So with 850,000 as my future value, if I let ASB still keep that money and earn 7.5% vis-a-vis a bank return of 4-5% or 3%, I'm having a very good income. So I should live my retirement with the ASB money. Then you treat it as an income fund. But let it accumulate. So picture it as a retirement asset.
Bose, I guess the other situation that is, I suppose, clouding people's minds are these ideas of the volatility of the market. And earlier on, we started by saying that the 7.5% perhaps could not be guaranteed into the foreseeable future. What if the average long-term returns of ASB comes down? Then would that relationship between ASB and the loan that's borrowed upon it, would that survive this test?
Obviously, there'll come a time when you may have to self-finance some of the differences. So at the moment, the difference is only 1.5%. Let's say I can borrow at 6%. It'll vary, most of the adjustable rates. And 7.5% is the investment return. That will also vary. But we have yet to see ASB dip too low. We have seen EPF, where my good old days, 8%, then it went down a bit, and it's very healthy at the moment, 6-something. So yes, you have to allow, and that's why we are there. So we will manage it. So they call it value averaging, or if you focus on the target, then we top up the difference. So it's still a game that you watch. It's passive, which is the interesting part. I continue to focus on my work, but allow my investment to passively grow. So it's not disturbing. You don't have to pay active attention. That's the best part of it. I don't want you to be a speculator and an active manager. Mm-hmm. Do your work, keep your family going, but allow this passive investment to work for you. Mm-hmm.
Also, is it fair to say from a very long-term viewpoint that if overall asset returns come down, then is it fair to say that the bank interest rates will also follow suit and become cheaper so that you always maintain a kind of margin? I mean, I think it's a risky thing to say, but is that generally a defensible idea?
Yes, it is. It is, of course. If interest rates are coming down, as we saw in so many parts of the world, the interest rates comes down and some countries may even be negative territory. So obviously the borrowing cost is way, way low. And your investment in risky assets will give a higher return. So you will see this scenario always playing out. There will be a sizable positive difference between borrowing cost and investment return. So yeah, mm-hmm. If you take general levels moving up and down, you will still have the little advantage of investment exceeding borrowing.
So fast forward 20 years' time, how much is $1 billion going to be worth? Is it going to be worth a lot of money?
Which brings me to the point. So you've got to take advantage. So one of the best things that ordinary person has is to have a long-term commitment and to pay back, say, a financial institution in depreciating ringgit. So this is one of the advantages inbuilt in taking long loans. As a famous saying, never be a short-term borrower or long-term lender. So here we have an advantage where your institutions lend long-term. And so when I'm paying back over the longer period, money has already depreciated, let's say even at 4%. In 18 years, I'm only paying 50 cents per dollar. So yes, that's one advantage. And yes, that may not. Inflation is now looking at you and you've got 800,000, let's say, in your hands, not a billion. Billion, you don't worry too much. 800,000 in your hands. Yes, you still have to contain. Inflation is now looking squarely at you. And this is the issue with EPF. EPF's index for inflation is not very good, or neither, probably non-existent. So when suddenly I take out my EPF money and I'm facing 20 years of retirement with inflation facing me squarely, is not enough. It's never enough. So you should already realize if I'm only relying on EPF with inflation keeping pace, I will be at a real disadvantage. So we must add inflation hedging. This is the reason why we have to take some risk. Mm-hmm. And stocks and real estate are a very good asset to look into to hedge against inflation. Mm-hmm.
That was Bose Darsan, a financial literacy coach and chartered financial consultant, talking to us about how leveraging up your ASB can help you with your retirement sufficiency. You've been listening to Ringgit and Cents on The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Julian Ng. We've got Enterprise coming up next, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.